T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back into the huddle. Greg McKinney and Lonzo with you till 4 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get on board, phone line always open at 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. Start your message with ESPN. And Twitter is at ESPN Upstate. We were talking about Chad Kelly's arrest earlier today for criminal trespass, found him breaking into a home in Colorado. And this tweet from Benjamin Albright, who works for, I'm trying to figure out who he works for. He covers the NFL. Albright NFL, is that NFL Network? Anyway. He tweeted this: Chad Kelly was mumbling incoherently, according to the police report, and did not have alcohol in his system, according to police. So, you know, that's concerning. I don't know what's going on with Chad Kelly, but that's, I'm not going to sit here and make fun of a guy who obviously has a problem.
Yeah, your first thought is with no alcohol that maybe it's drugs, but it could be a mental breakdown of some sort.
Yeah. Yep. That's a little bit concerning, and we'll wait to hear more about Chad Kelly. Broncos backup quarterback arrested early this morning out in Colorado. Clemson Tigers getting ready for Florida State. Florida State comes in at 4-3 to this game, 2-3 in the ACC. Game's in Tallahassee. It's a noon kickoff at Doak Campbell Stadium on Saturday. Tigers are 17-point favorites. Think about that, Lonzo, because I'm going to ask you about it an hour from now in 3 questions. 17-point favorites are the Clemson Tigers. You know, last week, similar kind of deal, and they covered. They covered last week. Well, they covered this week. So, Dabo Swinney talking to the media today over at Clemson and building up Florida State. Here's some of what Dabo had to say about the Seminoles.
They're still Florida State. I know their record is 4-3 right now, but they kind of got off to a slow start. New coach, new systems, new everything. And, you know, I think it took them a couple games to kind of figure out a little bit maybe who they are and get in stride a little bit. But really should probably have won the last 4 in a row. They're 3-1 in their last 4 games and really starting to play some good football. Offensively, Francois, he's a very good player. They've got great skill outside. Two great running backs in Akers and Patrick. Patrick's like 235, but really good players. Francois is a good thrower. He's mobile. They, I think, have figured some things out up front in the offensive line as far as getting guys in the right place. I think that was an area for them early that they were trying to figure out. And really good tight end. They got a freshman receiver that I think is going to be a really special player, Terry. 6'4 guy, looks a lot like Justin Ross. So just, you know, they're typical Florida State. Definitely the best ends we've seen. This defensive line they got, really, really good. 99 leads the nation in sacks. He's long, fast, twitchy. They've got really good depth at defensive end and defensive tackle, and they play them. Big, thick, physical, strong guys inside, fast and athletic at linebacker. And really good in secondary. Very skilled, very talented. They're one of the best in the country against the run. I think they're like 6th maybe in the country versus the rush. So again, their record is not same old Florida State right now, but their talent is. And you know, I know this is my 10th year as the head coach, and I think I'm 1-9 against them in recruiting rankings. So I think the only time we've ever out so-called recruited them is last year.
That's interesting. 99, by the way, is Brian Burns, defensive end, junior, 6'5", 235 pounds. But 9 out of 10 years, Florida State has out-recruited Clemson. I don't think a lot of people realize that, in the rankings at least.
It hasn't worked out as far as record-wise.
No. That goes to show you, it's not all recruited. People say, yeah, it's all in the players.
Would you consider it a compliment if someone called you thick and twitchy?
Twitchy, man. He's twitchy. Well, it is a compliment. It was meant that way. So, yeah, in this case, I guess I would. Florida State has improved. You know, when we said this at the beginning of the year, that this could be a more interesting game as we get down to late October because Florida State could be better. And I think they are. I mean, their low point was mid-September when they lost to Syracuse 30-7. They had gotten blown out by Virginia Tech in that opener by 3 touchdowns. But since then, since September 15th, when they lost 30-7 to Syracuse, Florida State has done this. They beat Northern Illinois 37-19. They beat Louisville on the road, only by 4 points, but that's a road win. They lost to number 17 Miami by 1 point on the road, 28-27. That's the one he said they probably should have won. And then last week they beat Wake Forest soundly by 3 touchdowns, 38-17. I know Clemson beat Wake Forest a lot worse than that, but still, this is not an awful Florida State team the way they're playing right now. So I think this could be an interesting game. It was an interesting game 2 years ago. Do you remember? In 2016, last time they met in Florida, they were both ranked in the top 25, and Clemson had to squeak out a 37-34 win. Tigers were ranked third, and it was a fourth quarter win. They outscored Florida State in the fourth quarter 17-6 that day and got the 3-point win over number 12, Florida State. Deshaun Watson played for Clemson that day and was 27-43, 378 yards. He ran for 52 yards. Tigers had 511 yards of offense that day, and Florida State had 449 yards of offense that day. Dalvin Cook, 169 yards rushing on that day, and DeAndre Francois was a freshman back then. He passed for 286 yards, so that was a very tight game won by the Tigers. Last year, not so close at Clemson, 31-14 Clemson win. Clemson was ranked number 4 in the country. That day clinched the Atlantic Division with a 31-14 win. They scored the last 14 points of the game in the last 3 minutes and 5 seconds. It was close for most of the game. Clemson had 227 yards rushing. Travis Etienne with 14 carries for 97 yards and 2 scores. And Kelly Bryant ran for 60 yards. Adam Choice ran for 40 yards. Big running day for Clemson. Overall, they had 378 yards of offense, so kind of a middling offensive production output for Clemson last year against Florida State. But Florida State was held to 208. Florida State's going to need more than 208 if they're going to hang with Clemson this weekend. James Blackman was their quarterback, of course, after the injury to Francois. He completed a 60-yard touchdown pass to Ryan Izzo, got him to within 3. And then they got the ball back down just by a field goal. But Van Smith with an interception that kind of clinched it for the Tigers. In fact, they went on to drive it 44 yards in 6 plays. ETN scored. They got the ball back and scored again with just 35 seconds left. So it was a little closer than the score indicated. But 31-14 was the Clemson win last year. So what do you think, Clemson fans? What are you looking for in this matchup with Florida State coming up on Saturday at 12 noon? Who are the key players to you, and what kind of expectation do you have for this game?
You know, I didn't put this on a list for a reason, because I think Clemson's going to roll Florida State just like they've done the last couple games. I think going into playing them, they're not going to take them lightly, and they're going to come in and play strong. I just don't see anyone competing with Clemson until the playoffs.
All right. Well, this could be one of those. At least the two road games that, you know, you have to think about are this one and the Boston College game. If you believe in home field advantage at all, then it could get interesting. We'll see. I'll get your opinion on whether they cover the 17-point spread coming up. Brian Burns is a big guy to watch for Florida State on defense, number 99, talked about there by Dabo Swinney. And then offensively, Cam Akers, sophomore running back, 5'11", 210 pounds. If he has a big day running the ball against Clemson, that could make it a tight game. DeAndre Francois is now a junior, so, you know, he feels like a young guy because he missed that time with the injury, but and he is still a relatively young guy, but he's a junior. He has some experience and talented quarterback, so you got to watch him. Naquan Murray, wide receiver. Damorian Terry, good 6'4", wide receiver. And Keith Gavin, goes 6'3". All their receivers, well, most of them are over 6 feet. Naquan Murray, 5'11". So they have good-sized receivers. They have a good running back. You know, that offensive line has been bad for the Seminoles. How much better is it now? Talking about Cole Minshew and Derek Kelly and Mike Arnold, Brady Scott, those guys. Have they gotten, have they improved enough to at least somewhat keep that Clemson D-line at bay? That's probably one of the keys of the game. If that defensive line for Clemson is in the backfield the whole night, the whole afternoon, noon to kickoff, then it's going to be a long day for Florida State. On the other side, Clemson has what Clemson has had. T. Higgins is stepping up in a big way at receiver, had a big game last week. Justin Ross starting to show what he can do at receiver. Of course, they always have Hunter Renfrow, Amari Rodgers, Darian Kendrick playing well. Got some good depth at receiver at Clemson. And then, you know, what does ETN do? He didn't have the big game. He had the touchdowns last week, but didn't have that much yards per carry or rushing yards. So does ETN have the big day this week? And that will make a difference for Clemson. And special teams, been good for Clemson. Can they keep that up in this game? It's yeah, going to be an interesting 12 noon kickoff coming up, and you can hear it on 93.3 The Planet Rocks. We begin our coverage with Ingalls College football today. From the studio, since this is a road game, we'll be in studio on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Mark Sturgis and I to get you ready for Clemson and Florida State. We go to the pregame coverage from the network at 9 o'clock. 12 noon kickoff for the Clemson Tigers this week and next week. That has been determined here. 844-477-3776. All right, when we come back, I have a rant of the day to get to. And also, a little bit later on, we'll get to the Shrine Bowl rosters and the North-South rosters, some high school all-stars in our area to talk about. That's ahead. Stay with us. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. It's The Huddle. Greg McKinney and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate. Keyword for this hour is still active. It's T-T-E-A, and you can text it to 72881 to win $1,000. Free cash dash brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more information. All right, I have a rant for you today. Let's get to today's rant of the day in The Huddle. Yeah, this rant comes from Paul Feinbaum's show, and it's Phyllis. Phyllis, big Alabama fan, and she feels kind of abused by LSU fans, including James Carville. You know about him, a political guy. He's a big LSU fan. I guess he's been mouthing off a little bit. So Phyllis calling into Feinbaum, talking about Carville and her Alabama Crimson Tide.
Phyllis is up next. Phyllis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm sorry my other phone's ringing, but it'll quit in just a second. I just wanted to touch on what James Carville said. You know, I'm really tired of people taking their jealousy and batting down Alabama and calling them privileged and going on about they're at the top because they didn't get there on merit. They got there because the refs helped them get there. The refs cheated. The SEC cheated. Hey, James Carville, what do you want us to do? You want us to move the SEC to slap out Saudi Arabia? Is that what you want? Will you be happy then? When you're in those stands, look behind you, because I might be behind you. I can out-scream you. I can out-holler you, and you won't touch a ref. And if a ref calls one of your players out, he's coming out of the game, just like an Alabama fan or team member would come out of the game. Let me tell you something. I watched that play. I saw what it was. And you know what? I kind of wish it was overturned, because if your number one player was in the game against us, that's what your problem is. You're scared of us because you know we're coming. We're coming for you. You're scared of us. You know for a fact that even if he's in the game, Bama will run, slap over him just like they're going to run over the whole team. I am so angry. You got your panties in a wad. You get off Bama's back. All Bama's going to do is meet you in a couple of weeks and kick your ass. Do you understand me, Carvel? Shut the hell up about my team. I bleed crimson and white. I don't care what you bleed. You know what? You're nothing to me. And I'm telling you, roll damn tide.
She started off so calm.
She's one of those people, and I get it, who speak a lot clearly when they start getting angry. You know, she stopped stumbling once she got mad.
Mm-hmm.
Then she was perfectly clear. Mm-hmm. The one thing I took out of it, it's very entertaining, was I wonder, have you ever run slap over somebody before?
I've run slap over them.
Okay.
I like the way she says ref. The refs. I like that. She's classic. She's classic. I don't even know exactly what Carvel said. I'd have to go look it up. It doesn't matter.
I need to find a volunteer in the hallway so I can run slap over them.
Well, don't let a ref see it, or they'll throw the flag on you.
Where's Sturge at?
Okay. Oh, Phyllis, I like it. Look, Alabama is off this week. They're getting ready for LSU. That's probably going to be an interesting week next week as they prepare to go to Baton Rouge on November 3rd. There's going to be a lot of talking that week in the SEC West.
And oh, the mess it will create if LSU wins,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Is Alabama, they've just been coasting so far. I mean, just look at what Alabama has scored this year. 58 against Tennessee. Their lowest scoring game just a couple of weeks ago was against Missouri when they scored 39 points. That's their lowest scoring game of the year. They've been in the 50s and the 60s most games, including 45, though, against Texas A&M. That's pretty good defense they scored 45 on. That was their close game, if you will, so far this year. LSU, I expect, will be a little closer. I don't expect them to roll slap over LSU. I don't expect them to, but we'll see. And there's not a whole lot left for Bama after that. Again, Mississippi State, that's at home. I don't see that being close. Then they get the Citadel, of course, as their little token game in late November. And they finish up with Auburn. But Auburn's in Tuscaloosa as well. So this is the road game. That's the notable road game for Alabama in the regular season coming up. Not this week, but next. They're off this week. So that's Saban with 2 weeks to prepare for LSU. I wouldn't bet against him on that one. So what do you think, Lonzo, about the latest discussion coming out of Columbus, Ohio, on Urban Meyer? You heard the stuff. Football scoop, citing sources who said there is friction between Urban Meyer and athletic director Gene Smith. He said there is tension that hasn't been present in recent years inside the football program as a whole. Kirk Herbstreit said there are big problems in the Ohio State program. Urban Meyer, he says, appears stressed and troubled on the sidelines. Meyer apparently collapsed in that Indiana game. I didn't see the video of that, did you? He apparently said he had a headache and it was a real collapse. Did he fall to the ground?
See, I was at work and my wife texted me and said, mm-hmm. Urban just collapsed. I'm mm-hmm. like, what? So I'm looking and yeah.
So anyway, he obviously had something going on there. You know, after all this preseason stuff and the investigation, which he survived, now they've lost a game. And so, you know, while they could still work their way back into it after losing to Purdue, that's obviously going to ratchet up the tension at Ohio State. What's going
to
happen?
You know, it's great to be in a position where one loss causes so much problems. I mean, that tells you what the expectations normally are there. Mm. And it's just one loss.
It is. It's not just that loss, though. I mean, even before that, I've heard a whole lot of people say, you know, Urban might last this year and then not come back. I don't know what you base that on. I don't think anybody that says they know
it stems knows back anything to the assistant coach and all that mess.
It does. But why would he fight so hard to keep his job and then come back, finish out the season, and quit? He might. I mean, is he having physical issues? That collapse raises that issue again, right? He had that problem at Florida.
Yeah, and people have made fun of that forever because he turned around and ended up coaching pretty quick after mm-hmm. he left because of that. And I don't know. I don't think he's going to quit.
What's Herb Street up to? Why is he saying what he's saying? That's going to make Ohio State fans mad.
Well, Ohio State fans are usually mad at Herb Street anyway.
Big problems within the program.
I think they expect Herb Street to be more of a homer, and he's not, except for Clemson. He's a homer for Clemson. but other than that, he's not for the Buckeyes, and I think that upsets people. And I get that. You want the guy who went to your school and who's a big-time guy on TV to be for your school always, but for the most part, he's unbiased when it comes to that, except for Clemson.
He's just suddenly a Clemson fan. He's all in on Clemson.
He has been, whatever reason. Him and Dabo are boys or something. Right. Yeah.
Some reporters have questioned the assistants that are at Ohio State and saying that, some of them are out of their element, like the offensive line coach. There's criticism of him. Linebackers coach Bill Davis. Greg Schiano continues to get criticism. Defensive coordinator.
I'm sorry. This team must be falling apart. They've lost one game. Mm-hmm. Oh, and how many games have they lost since he's been there? What, like five? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Gave up too many points in that Purdue game.
Obviously, they're a mess. They have one bad game a year.
So do
most teams, unfortunately.
Urban Meyer, 77-9. One national title, two Big Ten championships. We'll see. We'll see. Starting to see that storyline. Better not lose another game or it's over. You can't lose another game.
Oh, yeah. They're going to run him out of town, especially if that other game is Michigan.
Michigan, yeah. Then it's done. Then it's toast. Interesting, though, that this has ratcheted up here in the last couple of weeks. I guess kind of blew up a little bit when they lost last week. That's everybody's excuse to write this story about tension within the program, but that's coming out this week, including a report in the Bleacher Report that is out. Yesterday. 844-477-3776. HealthDare text line 71307. And Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We have the Shrine Bowl team, the North-South All-Star team. A lot of local players recognized in that. We'll talk about some of them coming up. And a commitment from Dre Williams. That great Greer running back has made his decision on college. We'll tell you about that, too. It is The Huddle. We'll be right back on ESPN Upstate. So we got some high school all-star announcements this week. The Shrine Bowl rosters announced. Shrine Bowl is going to be December 15th at Wofford College. And, of course, you could have some players in championship games that wouldn't be able to play or things like that. But anyway, the Shrine Bowl and the Touchstone North-South Energy Bowl at Coastal Carolina are going to be the same day because of extensions of the seasons in North and South Carolina. But here's some of the local guys that made the Shrine Bowl. This is the top all-star roster in the state of South Carolina every year. A couple guys from T.L. Hanna. Zach Pickens is that big defensive lineman. He's a commitment to the Gamecocks. Big time 6'5", 286-pound defensive lineman. And quarterback Alex Meredith from Hanna makes the Shrine Bowl team. From BHP, Avery Reese, tight end, and Tysheek Galloway, a defensive lineman. Burns gets one guy on the Shrine Bowl team. It's DeAndre Cornish, linebacker, 6'3", 214 pounds. He has had a great year. Greer, they get Dre Williams and Quantavius Cohen, Quack Cohen. They're running back and a defensive lineman. And Dre Williams has made his announcement this week that he will go to Marshall. The Thundering Herd have picked up Dre Williams' commitment. Man, he's got some great numbers this year. He's been tough for every team that's played him to stop. I know he had a big night against Burns, even though Burns was able to win that game. They didn't stop Dre Williams. He's a pretty incredible running back. From Gaffney, Jaquez Smith, linebacker, makes the team. Brooms, Josiah Cromer, offensive lineman, is on the team. Two guys from Bowling Springs, Logan Billings, linebacker, and Michael McDowell, also a linebacker. They both make it. Dorman gets two offensive linemen on the Shrine Bowl team, Mason Trotter and John Gelott, both big guys, pushing 300 pounds. Greenville High's Davis Bevel, Pittsburgh commitment at quarterback, 6'6", 205 pounds. He's having a good year this year, and he makes it. Jalen Calhoun, Southside running back. I'm sorry, they've got him in as a wide receiver here. But he is 5'11", 185 pounds, and he makes the team. And Spartan High's linebacker, Nick Dixon, is a Shrine Bowler. Hillcrest's Quindarius Jefferson, he didn't play last Friday night against the Burns Rebels. but he makes it as a wide receiver, 6 feet, 200 pounds. And Westside's Devontae Gambrell, defensive lineman, also makes the team. So that's the guys I see off the list from this area. And then right after that, we got the North-South All-Stars because Monday they announced the Shrine Bowl, and right after that they announced the North-South Touchstone Energy Bowl, December 15th, same day. And some of the guys that make the North squad there from our area: Bowling Springs, Storm Duck, Broome's Brendan Taylor, Burns receiver Ben Henson, Chapman's Jalen Smith, Dorman's Gabe Thompson and Zach Hillstock, Gaffney's Dalen Littlejohn and Hunter Bullock, Greenville High's Stephen Stokes, Greer's Kyle Snyder makes the team, Malden's Brendan Killo, and Jalen Anderson, two guys from Malden make that team. Braden Gravely from Pickens. You got Spartanburg's Jalen Gerdner and Mo Wedman. Wedman, good receiver at Spartanburg High. T.L. Hanna's Devontae Jones. You've got Union County's Lewis McBeth. Walhalla's Patrick Nations. Keegan Halloran, good quarterback at Woodruff. And Ren High's Tyrell Jackson. So congratulations to all you guys who made it. It's unfortunate that both those games are on the same day, but they had to do that because of the extension of the high school season. That pushed the state championship weekend back to December 8th. So December 15th will be the date for both of those games, those all-star games, here in the state of South Carolina. It's always a lot of fun, and it's a big honor for those guys. So congratulations to all of you for being elected. Here's the ESPN story on Chad Kelly. Let's see if there's any new information here. Chad Kelly arrested the former Clemson Tiger and Ole Miss Rebel, and now backup for the Denver Broncos. He's arrested this morning on suspicion of criminal trespass. Englewood police in the Denver area said Kelly was taken into custody early this morning. It is not clear if he has an attorney yet. According to court records, a man and a woman told police a man came into their home uninvited after 1 o'clock this morning and sat down on the couch, mumbling incoherently. The records say the man chased the intruder out, striking him in the back with the vacuum cleaner tube.
Okay, a lot of things are questionable here. Mm-hmm. So he just walked in. Was the door unlocked?
Mm-hmm. Came into their house uninvited is all it says. I guess, he didn't break the door down. I don't know.
Or did he knock on the door and they just let him in and he walked in and sat on the couch?
He was uninvited. Police.
I'm just curious. I'm sorry. Vacuum hose. Cleaners.
Well, a tube. You got those vacuum cleaners that are, I have one of these. It's a metal tube. It's not the rubber hose.
So it has, it's like the extension to the back of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. I got it.
Extension. So he whacked him on the back. The man that lived at the house whacked Chad Kelly on the back with a vacuum cleaner tube. Police say they found a man nearby matching the intruder's description and identified him as Chad Kelly. Court officials say Kelly posted a $2,500 bond. He's due back in court Wednesday. In a statement, the Broncos said they're disappointed and they're getting more information from Kelly. They've already talked to him. They're getting more information. So there's your update on swag, Chad Kelly.
So I just have a comparison question. Who loses more respect from their team? Derek Carr for crying or Chad Kelly for getting beat up with a vacuum cleaner hose?
I'm going to go with Kelly for getting into real trouble. Derek Carr didn't get into trouble, even if he shed a tear after he was hit in that ballgame. Chad Kelly, final pick of the 2017 draft by the Broncos. And he has won the number two job. He has not thrown a pass this season. Case Keenum has struggled, and a lot of talk has been, hey, start Chad Kelly. Well, that doesn't appear likely now, right? Kevin Hogan was signed as the number three quarterback for the Broncos at the start of the season. They've carried three quarterbacks on the roster all season. Do you think they knew we need three quarterbacks here? We might need three quarterbacks here if Chad Kelly is one of our two. Of course, he's the nephew of Jim Kelly, Hall of Fame quarterback, Buffalo. Started his career at Clemson, was dismissed for conduct detrimental to the team at 2013. I was at that spring game when Chad got frustrated being taken out of the game and showed himself on the sidelines. And that was it. Next week, he was gone. After a year in junior college, he went to Ole Miss, where he was named starter his junior season. 13 games, he passed for 31 touchdowns and rushed for 10 more. But then his senior year, he tore his ACL and lateral meniscus. When he was an Ole Miss signee back in 2015, Chad Kelly pleaded guilty to a non-criminal charge of disorderly conduct and agreed to 50 hours of community service after a fight with bouncers outside a Buffalo nightclub. And then there's a thing where he ran out onto a high school field, right? Remember that? That's not in the story, but his brother
was, it was his brother.
Out there, and he ran out and got into a scruff there, but that didn't turn into much. So that's the deal with Chad Kelly, Broncos backup quarterback. Yeah, there's so many questions here. Well, he goes into somebody's house uninvited, sits down on the couch, and is mumbling. That's what we're being told here from the police report. Right in the middle of football season. Early on a Tuesday morning, that's what he did.
I just wish we knew what he was mumbling.
Yeah.
Have to do with fix me a sandwich. I mean, what? Where's the remote?
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the Ryan Russillo story. Remember when Russillo was...
Well, Russillo was drunk, and the police report says that Chad Kelly had no alcohol in his system. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't have anything in his system. I guess we'll find out more about that. Yeah, Russillo just got drunk and went to the wrong condo. And went to bed. So, we'll see what the future for Chad Kelly in Denver turns out to be. Further updates coming on that one. 844-477-3776. Another chance to win $1,000 in the free cash stash coming up. We'll be back in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. All right, more on Chad Kelly. Well, first of all, a text from Ray and Greer says, I think Chad got a hold of some laced brownies. He was in Colorado. And that's not the worst opinion I've ever heard. Because apparently Von Miller had a party last night. Now, TMZ, there was a report that it was a cocaine party theme, a cocaine-themed party. Benjamin Albright recently tweeted the theme was cowboy, not cocaine.
So what would a cocaine-themed party be?
That would be illegal is what that would be. But a cowboy party would not be. Chad Kelly was reportedly at this party. The incident at the house a few blocks from Von Miller's party. There is security video. Don't know what it shows. Chad Kelly had no alcohol in his system. Alcohol. So, that's not a terrible theory by Ray and Greer. That Chad may have had something at the party that didn't sit well with him. And he went roaming through the neighborhood and went to somebody's house and was mumbling and incoherent and sitting on their couch.
So what if he ate something and he wasn't aware that it had something in it?
Yep.
Then it's not really
not
his fault.
That's fair. Right?
More than likely, that's not the case, but it is a possibility.
Possible. I'm wondering about this security video. Where's the security video from their home when he broke in? They had security video.
Maybe they're negotiating the price with TMZ
right
now.
Yeah, could be that. That kind of adds up. At least he was at a party nearby, Von Miller's party, and then showed up at the
house. So the other question, was he dressed up full cowboy when he walked in there?
Yeah. Don't know.
Was he wearing chaps when he sat down on their couch?
I don't want to think about that. But thanks for bringing it up. I appreciate that.
I meant chaps over jeans. I didn't say chaps without anything else.
Okay. Brought up a different visual.
That would probably bring up one more charge.
Yeah, probably. Ruining a couch. All right, so this week in the NFL, our Thursday night football game coming up day after tomorrow is the Dolphins and the Texans. So we get a chance to see Deshaun Watson on Thursday night football at NRG Stadium. Houston actually favored in this game by 7.5 points over the Dolphins. They're both 4-3, but Houston favored at home by 7.5 points in that game. Deshaun Watson's approaching 2,000 yards passing on the season. So chance to see Deshaun on Fox on Thursday night, NFL Network. Which one's it on? It says Fox and NFL.
It's on both.
Okay. Why'd they do that? That's fine, but okay.
Because NFL Network, I mean, it's really them, and they do a mix of the two as far as you got NFL Network guys on and Fox guys on, too. Mm-hmm. It did the same thing with whichever network it was on last year.
They do that all year, or Because they have done things where they switch mid-year on Thursday nights.
I think Fox has it for you. I just watch it on NFL Network because I know it's always going to be on there.
Right. Then this weekend's game, of course, games on Sunday, the Ravens at the Panthers at Bank of America Stadium. The line on that game, 1.5 in favor of Baltimore on
really?
The road. Yeah,
really?
That's interesting. That's interesting. But Baltimore's pretty good. Well, Panthers have been good, too. Packers and the Rams, you know what the line on this one is? It's the worst ever for an Aaron Rodgers team from Green Bay.
It's pretty ugly.
9 points. Rams by 9 points at home at the Coliseum in Los Angeles over the Green Bay Packers. Rams are 7-0. Packers 3-2-1. Eagles get the Jaguars. That's going to be a 9:30 a.m. game local time because it's at Wembley Stadium in London. We'll have it for you here on ESPN Upstate. Philadelphia favored by 3 over the Jags. Jets and the Bears at 1 o'clock. Bears favored by 7. Tampa Bay and the Bengals. Cincinnati favored by 4.5. Seattle at the Lions. Detroit favored over Seattle. I wonder when the last time that has been the case. Detroit favored by 3 at home against the Seahawks. Broncos with no Chad Kelly probably, but we'll see. Against the Chiefs. Arrowhead. KC by, what do you think?
14?
10.
Okay. It's a rivalry game, too. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the records are. They still seem to be pretty good games. Hopefully they won't be. Hopefully Kansas City will destroy Denver, as they should.
So you sound overconfident. That's good. We'll see. Broncos may rally around swag.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just interested to see if there's going to be more investigation into this party because of Chad Kelly.
Well, yeah. I mean, Chad Kelly leaves and goes crazy.
He may not be the only one who's not at the game.
That's right. That could be an issue. There have been issues with the Denver Broncos. This could be a big one. We'll see how it develops. Redskins and the Giants. That's a rivalry game. Wow, Washington. Washington is 4-2. The Giants are 1-6, and the Redskins are favored by 1.
Really? That's all. No one's believing in the Redskins, but they are leading the East, and probably will continue to do so. They're going to win this game too.
Maybe. Browns at the Steelers. 1 o'clock game. Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, and the Steelers favored by 8.5. Colts play the Raiders. Raiders trading everybody away. Indianapolis by 3 in Oakland in that game at 4:05. The 49ers and the Cardinals, 2-1-6 teams. Who's favored?
Who the heck is watching that game? That's what I want to know. I'm going to go 49ers.
Wrong.
Really?
Arizona by 1 point.
Why?
Because they don't have C.J. Beathard. I don't know why. 1 point. It's pretty even. That's basically a...
Maybe it's because of Larry Fitzgerald. They give it to him because of him.
Maybe. Saints and the Vikings are the Sunday night game. That's a good one. What do you think the line in that one is?
I'm going to say Saints by 3.
Vikings by 1.
Really?
Yeah. Vikings 4-2-1, but they're at home. That probably made the difference. U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis.
I know you would like to see the Vikings lose,
of course,
but I would like to see the Saints
well,
lose.
Well, yeah, that would help the Panthers if the Saints could fall. Some good team's going to lose that
game.
Maybe
they could
Sunday
tie.
Night.
We've seen a couple of those this year.
Yeah, we have. Vikings were in one of them with my Packers. The Monday night game, Patriots and Bills.
Ugh.
Line on that one? 14 for New England in Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.